Now, hello again. Still coming to you from Limerick for our mayoral debate. Kyle Ast, thanks very much to our panel of candidates who you just heard before the break. Labour's Conor Sheehan, Helen O'Donnell, Independent, Daniel Butler of Fine Gael, Maurice Quinlivan of Sinn Féin, and the Social Democrats, Elisa O'Donovan. Now, we're into part two of tonight's late debate. As I say, we're live in Limerick ahead of Friday's elections. Limerick will be voting for the county and country's first ever directly elected mayor. And in the first part of the programme, we heard from five candidates. Now it's time to hear from four more. Independent candidate John Moran was due to take part, but he informed us he was withdrawing over the weekend. Each candidate, same as the first half, is going to have 90 seconds each to set out their stall for Limerick and their plan should they be elected. And then around 2 minutes for rebuttal or further comments and questions. Now the first candidate to speak in this section is Frankie Daly. He's going to be followed by Dee Ryan, Rory Fahey and Brian Ledden. Frankie Daly is an independent candidate in this election and a sitting councillor in Limerick. A youth worker, he was first elected to the council in 2014 as a Labour councillor but returned as an independent in 2019. He's previously been Mayor of Limerick. He sat on many boards and committees including the Discover Limerick Designated Activity Company and the Southern Regional Assembly. So Frankie, in 90 seconds, what's your five-year plan for Limerick should you be elected Mayor and why should people vote for you?
I think my main strategy is I have a direct conjugate with the people, so I'd be independent, so I'd be answerable directly to the people. I won't be answerable to Dublin. I think that's from the outset. And I think my main focus would be a strategic focus. So I suppose I'd put the wheels in motion for both city and county. There'll be a strong focus on housing, infrastructure. There'll be advocacy roles around health. And in addition to that, there'll be a strong focus on the city centre revitalisation, but also the rural towns and villages. And in addition to that, the capacity issues around sewage and wastewater treatment in addition to the infrastructure to improve capacity for, I suppose, building up communities in rural Limerick. I was in Doon recently, and that's an example of a village that, you know, they're forgotten towns. They feel like they're forgotten towns, and I'll be a voice for both rural and city.
Okay, thanks very much, Frankie Daly. We'll give you an extra few seconds at the end there because I think you slightly undershot your 90 seconds. We'll move on to Dee Ryan, who's the Fianna Fáil candidate for the election. She's a former CEO of Limerick Chamber and the director of the Lime Tree Theatre. Dee's from Limerick County. She's been a member of several other political parties in the past and has served on the Shannon Estuary Economic Task Force. So in 90 seconds, Dee, why should you be elected mayor for Limerick City and County?
Good evening, Cormac, and to your listeners. Thank you for having me on. Yes, as I spent the last 6 years as the CEO of Limerick Chamber. That's the largest business representative organisation in the Midwest, representing hundreds of employers and thousands of their employees. And in that context, I've engaged regularly with Taoiseach, government ministers, heads of government agencies and leaders of multinational agencies considering investing in Limerick. Over the last 3 months since I left that role to put myself forward for people's consideration for the honour of this role, I have canvassed across Abbeyfield, Newcastle West, Castletroy and Capelmore. And there are two predominant issues that are coming up for me on the doors, those of the housing and hospital. Yes, there are other issues such as road safety and social behaviour and concerned about the hollowing out of our rural towns and villages, but the biggest issues undoubtedly for the people of Limerick are housing and the hospital. So for me, housing is the area that you can have the most direct impact as the Mayor of Limerick, and the game changer will be for the council to start building instead of buying off the market and adding to our annual housing stock here in Limerick. So if I am elected, I will lead the council to deliver thousands of homes on the council-owned land. I'm going to use the government's land acquisition fund. This is a state fund for local authorities, free money essentially, for them to acquire sites with planning. I'll also use the land acquisition fund to acquire sites zoned residential that don't have planning and start putting through thousands of applications to get a pipeline of potential homes into the system. The beauty of this plan, my housing plan, is that it's largely self-financing and doesn't require institutional investors. Happy to take more questions.
Okie doke, we'll be back to you. Rory Fahey is next. He's running in the election for People Before Profit. Rory's a software engineer. This is his first time running for political office. He's a member of the Community Action Tenants Union. He lives in Limerick City. So in 90 seconds, Rory, your pitch and why you should be elected as mayor.
Yeah, look, I mean, we're being told that this is a historic role, but the reality is very little power has actually been devolved into a new democratically elected position. So much of the power still rests with, you know, bodies like the HSE, like the National Transport Authority, like the planning regulator. You know, the mayor will not be able to go and change a whole lot. So I think we really need to push for an activist mayor. I've already said that I'm only going to take a worker's wage, not the 150,000 wage that's been bandied about, you know, to try to use that money to fund things like defending renters' rights, where we have so many illegal evictions going on in the city, where there's no support for tenants, where we have illegal rent increases, again, no support for tenants. To try to support journalists investigating the council to make sure that our money is well spent. And I want to see about, you know, how can we use the council to build up public services as best as possible. We push forward a universal public services model so we can start tackling the cost of living. Because at the end of the week, when people have paid their rent, their energy costs, when they pay their food costs, their mortgage costs, they have nothing left to spend in the city centre. So we have a dying city centre and hollowing out towns and villages because people are struggling to get by. So that's the kind of stuff that we want to start tackling. And to do that, you know, we can't just, you know, expect this position to deliver it. We need to get people involved and we need to go and have people be given the tools to help fight for themselves and to help build up movements to go and tackle these issues.
All right. OK, yeah, we'll come back to you. We'll give you an extra few seconds as well. You're slightly undershot your 90 seconds there. But Brian Leddon is next. He's been a Green Party TD for Limerick City since 2020. His mother is a former mayor of Limerick and Brian was a serving councillor from 2019 until his election a year later to the Dáil. He's chair of the Oireachtas Committee on Environment and Climate Action. He's an engineer by trade. Brian, in 90 seconds, your pitch.
Thanks, Colm. To some extent, this role is about managing the current challenges that we have. But actually, the reason why we are having this huge reform of local government, the bigger reason is that it's an opportunity for somebody with a big vision for Limerick and I would say the whole Midwest region. And that is the reason that I am standing. I would say at the outset that I have a very strong record of delivery since I was elected at TD in 2020, and listeners will know about the Limerick to Foynes railway line, which is going to have trains running on it by the end of next year, all going well, or early 26 at the latest. And that's going to give us a fantastic opportunity to put passenger services with new stations and stops along that line. But I would see that as one part of a bigger vision to develop a whole regional and metropolitan railway system in the Midwest so we can have stations in places like Adair, a very popular place, and certainly I would be aiming to do that in time for the Ryder Cup, Raheen, where 8,000 people commute to daily, Askeaton and Foynes. And we can look at the other rail infrastructure that we have and look at stations for places like Moyross and Ballysimon, probably two there. One further out is a park and ride. Anacotti, Dura Doyle, where the hospital is. There's this fantastic vision, but most critically, I think, and I would be really looking to push this in the 5 years, as a rail connection to Shannon Airport. That is doable, according to the chief executive of Irish Rail.
Okay. All right, Brian Leddon, thanks very much. Back to you, Frankie Daly. Just in terms of the specifics, I mean, you've emphasised your passion for the role, you've emphasised your determination to represent Limerick and not, I suppose, be at Dublin's beck and call, but specifically when representing Limerick, how would you work collaboratively with Dublin and how would you best represent Limerick?
Yeah, I think just from the point of view, I think one of it was mentioned, the local activation fund there. I was the chairperson of the Travel and Transportation Committee in 2017 that enabled, and it was described as enabling money. So it was 10.5 million that was secured. So I've worked closely with the executive on that. And they have the expertise, the technical expertise, engineers and so on, and basically created those enabling funds. And we now have 200 homes, and we also have the potential now for a further 200 homes. So I think in relation to that, I'd work closely with the local authority, with national civil servants, I suppose, to enable our own local authority. And I think it's very important. I'd put a very strong focus on our local authority. We have the talent base within the local authority. We also have the designated activity companies, and they're good strategically, but I wouldn't necessarily divulge that particular role in terms of building or creating the infrastructure in terms of the sewage, the piping and the necessary infrastructure for builders to come in, private builders to come in. So I think we've the talent place, and we've proven that within the council from a councillor's perspective, and to keep the power within the three-way structure, the director general, the mayor and the councillors. I said it's critically important to work with them in unison. I've worked there for the last 10 years. I've very strong relationships, and I think it's about mutual respect and bringing people on board. And I think within national government, if there's a mutual respect there, the funds are there with the drive and enthusiasm from the staff. And if their morale is high, you know, the skill set is there, and it's there in abundance.
Do you agree with Rory Fahey that the new office doesn't have enough power? And if so,
absolutely
why?
Not.
And if not, why not?
Absolutely not. I think it's what you make of it, and I take it as a positive approach, and it's about bringing people with you. And I think it's important to kind of, you know, to kind of, I suppose, approach it from the mandate point of view. This is directly elected by the people, so this is the epitomises democracy. Yes, there's going to be a review period in the next 3 years, and that's critically important. And hopefully, if there's that, I suppose, it's about... Politics is the art of negotiation and bringing people with you. I have very good relationships with all parties and none. As chair for the last 4 years in the previous council, you know, we've brought through some really good projects at the aforementioned. So I think it's critically important that we look at it from a positive point of view, and you know, we drive it forward. And you know, there'll be huge powers there twice a year to be able to meet ministerial. But outside of that, you know, I've studied public sector management level 9, and the key thing with public sector workers, it's about building relationships there in the departments. Okay. That's the key to the castle.
All right. Thanks, Frankie Daly. D. Ryan, you said that you want the council building housing, not buying housing. But who's doing the building for the council, and how do you get those people to build for the council rather than build privately?
Thanks, Cormac. Yes, I mean, this is very exciting. The government introduced a new fund in 2022 that is specifically for local authorities to enable them to get active and get leading in delivering of affordable homes. Now, I remember affordable homes is the technical term for the second type of, the other type of public housing that we hear about, social and affordable housing. Affordable housing is for people who earn more than the 36,000 as it is in Limerick to be eligible for a social home, but don't earn enough to be able to purchase a home off the market. So the role, my very credible and detailed housing plan, which I have been around the houses and spoken to the Department of Housing, the Housing Agency, private sector and planning authorities in order to ensure I'm very clear in it, has been laid out. It's on my website, and if I'm elected, I will be moving immediately to identify sites that are zoned residential and that currently have planning permission and have capacity to deliver these homes. There are 3,000 homes.
Who's doing the building, and how do you get them to work for you rather than building higher value housing for themselves?
So there's a number of ways that we can do it. I would expect that we'll be partnering with the Land Development Agency for some of the affordable purchase and the cost rental. I would also expect to be partnering with approved housing bodies to deliver some of the cost rental. And I would expect to be also contracting directly to get builders on sites to build directly for the local authority. Remember, these homes are homes that can't be sold to private individuals. They have to be partnered with the government's Affordable Housing Fund. So they're for our teachers, they're for our nurses, they're for our guards and our workers.
Do you want to put a price tag? What's affordable?
Well, the affordable, actually, it is defined. You have to beat the market value by 20%. So it's a technical qualification in order to be able to access and unlock the affordable fund that the government has made available. But if you want to take a look at it in action, have a look at the Fingal County Council website. They've got 7 of these schemes running at the moment. Kilkenny also have some, and so do Kildare Local Authority. So for me, yes, I hear the points other people are making about collaboration in the role, but the mayor has to be a leader, and this is where I will lead.
Okay, Rory Fahey, you talked about using your 40 million fund, not taking the full salary, and possibly providing that some of that to journalists, investigative journalists. How do you ensure the journalists are independent or trusted and perceived as independent if you're the one paying them?
Yeah, Noteworthy has already done a great model for this. You know, they've shown how you can have different proposals be put up and then voted on by people, essentially voted through money currently, where people are putting money into those funds, but that could be then done through some kind of a verified voting system. So I think there's room there to do it in a way that is actually holding the council to account. So that's not even out of the 40 million fund. That's just like, you know, general, not taking the 150,000 wages. There's still about 60,000 euros left over a year for that. So within the 40 million itself, you know, on year one, we want to see, you know, some trial of free public transport. You know, that'll take negotiating with the NTA, to go, or National Transport Authority, to go and get them to agree to it. So that's going to be a difficult negotiation, I imagine. You know, there is an opposition to bringing in free public transport, but I think that could be a game changer.
And do you have a price tag on that?
Yeah,
that
so the NTA, Bus Éireann released last year that they only raised 5 million euros in fares for the year in the city anyway. But even if they, you know, we could combine that with park and ride systems. We could, you know, really support people who are driving into the city from Clare, from Limerick County, to get on a bus, not clog up the city centre and get to work more efficiently. So we have the new Bus Connect plan coming down. It needs to be improved, but, you know, at least with the greater frequency of buses combined with park and ride facilities, we should be able to free up the city. And the same when it goes to the idea of a train. If we're talking about 5 years to get a new train on, and that is definitely best case scenario, you know, we should be looking at, you know, what can we do quickly? We could have shuttle buses from Limerick City out to Shannon, you know, to facilitate people who are going that direction, the same out to Adair. So those are things that we need to be tracking.
Can I ask you, it came up in the TV debate with Katie Hannan the other night, you were talking about increasing the wage of people working for the council to a living wage, which would to nudge on other private or public sector sectors to pay their workers the same. What would you not do in order to provide those workers with a pay rise?
Sorry,
what in order to fund the pay?
Oh, sorry,
rise
you mean,
to
okay,
the yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sorry, I get you. So, I mean, some of it may have to come from the discretionary fund. I'd rather it didn't. I think we should be changing how we go and do the contracting. So, at the moment, you know, so much work from the council itself is being contracted out. We need to look at ensuring that the companies that are applying for these contracts, that, you know, we're giving it to good unionised companies, that we're giving a preference to cooperatives, and then again putting it in the contracts that they pay a living wage, because we have lots of these companies. Like I was trying to organise trade union or not what are they called security officers last year into a trade union, and you know, a lot of them were earning just above the minimum wage with their pay agreement. But the companies that were getting contracts off state bodies were getting 25 to 35 euros an hour. So these people were getting paid 12.70 off that. So there's a lot of middlemen who are sucking up money that is not going and circulating around our economy.
Okay. Brian Ledden, just, you know, specifics on the metro that you're proposing. Are you saying it would be delivered within the 5 years, or would ground be broken within that 5 year period? And what makes you confident that would happen given the experience of Dublin Metro North?
I'm not talking about a metro system. I'm talking about a metropolitan railway network. And Limerick is in the enviable position of all Irish regional cities in that we have four railway lines coming in and out of it. There's the line to Galway, the Ballybrophy line, the line to Limerick Junction, and, as I mentioned earlier, the Limerick to Fines line, which we'll have trains running on by the end of next year. So what I'm talking about is using existing infrastructure that cities all over the world, if they were to plan it now, that, you know, from scratch, they'd pay billions of euros. We have it. It's latent infrastructure. So it's really about investing in it and upgrading it. It's very doable. And as I mentioned, the Chief Executive of Irish Rail recently at the Joint Directors Committee on Transport says that the Shannon Link can be done for about 200 million euros and it can be done in around 5 years. And
including the cost of constructing stations.
Yes, including the cost of... And that's in the All Ireland Strategic Rail Review, and it's actually in the All Ireland Strategic Rail Review because I lobbied for it to be in that. So we're halfway there.
Are you confident the parking would be there at all stations?
Yeah, parking can and should be provided at stations, of course. And actually, interestingly, the Moyross station, which is at early stage planning, is going to be much more about having connectivity with the local bus service. It's not about providing loads of parking there, but you would look at parking in places outside the Ring Road for the outer Ballysimon station that I talked about. So I'm talking about a lot of elements of this can be done. And if we elect a mayor who's got this vision and says that he or she is going to deliver this, we are sending a signal, not just nationally, but internationally, that we are a region for growth, for investment. And I think that is very exciting.
All right. Frankie Daly, what do you think of Brian Ledden's plan for
I think
for,
it's the cart before the horse. I think the Northern Distributor Road was of paramount importance. And I think we've the two black spots for poverty within that particular north side. We've Moyross and we've St Mary's Park. So I think it's critically important that we put those projects back on track. I think it was a mistake to take them out. I think there's a huge opportunity from an economic and jobs point of view in terms of opening up the north side of the city, and indeed from a strategic point of view, as Limerick is the Midwest, when you take it into that context, we're looking at 500,000 people, and, you know, there's huge opportunities there for generations. So if we're looking strategic and we're looking to be a mayor that leads, we need to be looking at future generations. And by taking out this project and putting in a couple of train stations that, like, instead of a road infrastructure network, I think it's ludicrous, and I think it's just totally out of touch in comparison to the real thing that people want is jobs, infrastructure, and then absolutely rail. I know there's budgety constraints as well, but I think it's a big mistake, and I think that's something that I'll be championing as mayor to get it back into the agenda. It's in our local development plan. I made sure that it was in it and that the pathway was there. I didn't come in when you were speaking, Brian, so I'd appreciate if I could finish. There's a lot of discontent in terms of you know, this whole idea of taking it off the agenda. You know, a lot of people on the north side, they're looking at the likes of Castletroy and Raheen. Right. They're bursting at the seams with life sciences and high-tech jobs and the future. So I think that's critically important. And the county is very important as well. The bypass is there. In Newcastle West and Abbeyfield.
I'm afraid we have to distribute the time fairly. So, D. Ryan, this suggestion of Metro, is it on your agenda?
Listen, I'm not anti-road, and I am in favour of transport-led development, and I'm not going to criticise Deputy Leddon for talking about what he'll be advocating for, but I will point out that he's talking about advocating and using that power of the role of mayor to try and achieve a goal. I'll be using my advocacy to focus primarily on the hospital, and within the remit of what I can actually deliver, I'll be focused on housing.
All right, but in the realm of transport, what's the focus, and in particular in public transport?
So as Councillor Daly has pointed out, the local authority is responsible for delivering a couple of key infrastructural projects for transport over the term of the Mayor. The M20 motorway, the Foynes to Limerick Road being crucial for helping us unlock the opportunities from our Shannon Foynes port. And then, of course, the LNDR, which has been spoken about. Also some key infrastructural pieces like the Abbeyfield and Newcastle West bypasses and alleviating congestion at the top of the Golf Links Road. Those will be the transport projects that I'll be focusing on as Mayor.
Okay. Rory Fahey, you've said free public transport, and it costs it on the basis of what Bus Éireann is saying at the moment at 5 million. But would you think also of expanding public transport, and if so, how?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that will take negotiations with the NTA. As I said, the Bus Connects plan is coming down. That should increase the frequency in some areas. But there are serious problems with Bus Connects that, you know, there's lots of parts of even the city that are not going to be served that are in the country or inside the rural part of the county. You can have some level of service through TFI Local Link. But even within the city, like the North Circular Road, like down the end of Corbley and the Mill Road, we have hundreds of people who are not connected to a bus network as it stands. So it massively needs to be expanded as it is. Because ultimately, you know, we want to expand the city. We need to build a lot more housing, but we don't have a city that can take any more cars. The traffic is already one of the worst spots in the country. So I think to start tackling that, to actually expand the city and have more people living in it, we need to expand active travel. We need to have better bike parking across the city, because some people are afraid that they're going to have their bikes damaged if they park in the city. We need to go and have park and rides that serve all the outskirts as well, so that people coming in from the countryside have like somewhere that they can park up, get onto some public transport route, and then efficiently get into their workplaces. And that can be coupled with train, it can be coupled with buses. But like our ideal thing is, as quickly as possible, can we get the park and ride set up, can we get free public transport, and can we get people out of their cars and onto buses, and then ideally then bikes as well, because people feel safer.
All right, so no interest in roads?
Not particularly. I don't see how they're going to, other than opening up for new development, I don't see how they're going to massively help the situations we have now. Also, the cost of them is huge. I mean, it's going to be I think it's 500 million of what it costed for the full Northern Distributor Road. If we were to build that, as I said, like 5 million euros for free buses in the city per year. You have 100 years of free public transport for the cost of one road.
Okay. All right, D. Ryan, just you did undershoot slightly, but the environmental concerns that have been raised about the distributor road, do you share any of those concerns, or do you have any plans to alleviate what those concerns are?
Well, the status with the Northern Distributor Road is that the first phase, which is the Cúnamh to Knocklasheen Distributor Road, has been commenced, is underway, and is being run by the local authority. The second phase, which is the phase that's really important for alleviating some of the traffic at the Mackie roundabout over the Castletroy end, is at the earliest stages of assessing the environmental aspects of it, but is expected to proceed. And then the third phase, which is the phase that goes through County Clare, has not yet been proceeded in any way.
Brian Leddon, to bring you back to the start there, I suppose, Frankie Daly seemed to hint that he believed some of what you were saying is out of touch.
Not at all. And I just thank Dee for clarifying that around the Northern Distributor Road. There's a lot of confusion about it. That phase three that Dee talked about is the bigger element of the, that Rory mentioned, would cost 500 or 600 million euros, right? That's a huge amount of money. We're talking about a rail link to Shannon Airport to become the first, have the first airport connection in the country with 20 minute services, a half hour services in and out to Limerick. The reality about this Northern Distributor Road, I would acknowledge there's a traffic challenge in places like Westbury and Corbley. We can put a train station in Corbley going in and out Shannon and going the other direction towards the city centre and Raheen. And if we were to spend that 500 or 600 million euros on that road out into County Clare, we're essentially building a bypass for Limerick, and we're also opening up lands around Clonlara, Gillogue, Ardnacrosha, Partine for development. And if you have that development, you're not going to solve the traffic problem. You're going to get a sprawling city. The rail plan that I have isn't simply a rail transport plan, it's a development plan, it's a growth plan for the Limerick-Shannon region. It's about opening up land banks that are near sustainable infrastructure, that are serviced for housing development, for industrial development and for commercial development. This is the infrastructure that will underpin the fastest and best possible and most sustainable growth of the Midwest region. It's a no-brainer to do it. It's utilising existing infrastructure that we have, investing in it and upgrading it. It is not difficult to do. We can do a lot more of this in the 5 years than any of that phase three of the Northern Distributor Road. It makes sense to get on with it. And as I said, it's going to be a very, very strong signal internationally about the Midwest, that we are open to business. We are a place that is going in the right direction in the way that other fast-growing European city regions are doing this. We should do it too.
All right. Well, the stop clock tells me you've all got equal time on that one. That's all we have time for this evening. Thanks to all the candidates, both at this panel and the previous one, for their contributions this evening, for taking time out of the canvas. There are six more candidates running in the mayoral election. They're Dr. Laura Keyes for Raritha, Catriona Ní Chathain for the Socialist Party, Colm O'Moran for the Independent, who's an Independent, Gerben Unk for the Party for Animal Welfare, John Moran, Independent, and Sarah Beasley for AIM2.